Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the GMSO's Standing Selection Committee call on Monday, the 14th of August, 2017. On the call today, we have Susan Kawaguchi, Gil Hatsingas, Renata Aquina of Ribeiro, Maxime Alzoba, and Osvaldo Novoa. We have apologies from Frederic Guillermo. From staff, we have Marika Cohen, Emily Barajas, and myself, Michelle D. Snyder. As a reminder to everyone, please state your name so it appears clearly on the transcription, and I will turn the meeting back over to you, Susan.
Thank you very much, Michelle. And are there any SOI updates today? Looks like Maxim said no update for him. Anybody else? Okay, not hearing any or seeing any hands up. We'll move on to the SSR2 review team. And do I have access to the slides, or does staff want to just move the slides along? Oh, I think I do now. So the question is, Emily, you're going to move them. Okay. So I'll stop touching things. How's that? So hopefully you've had a chance to review the information we sent out, both staff and I, and the leadership team for the SSC met last week and sort of came up with a thought process on how to move forward with the SSR2 review team candidate. Emily Taylor's had to resign, and she was one of our top three candidates from the GNSO Council, so now we need to look at the rest of the remaining candidates that we recommended and name a candidate to the GNSO Council for that position. And you'll see there that you should have had the link in the email, but there's three candidates, Raul, Scott, and Norm. And these are, you know, Richie has indicated he's an independent. Scott McCormick is from the BC, and Raul is from the NCUC. So we need to decide on who would be the candidate that we recommend. Since we've recommended a full slate, I am hesitant to go back to all of the GNSO candidates that were requesting endorsement. The predecessor to the SSC that actually did this, but it was, you know, the chair of the GNSO Council's vice chair, Donna, and several representatives of each of the constituencies or stakeholder groups that participated in the initial review. So, and so it looks like, Maxim, you've said you've already requested guidance from the registry, XCOM. So, you know, Yulf, that's a great question. On the diversity, that's always a struggle for these candidate selections. Staff, is there a possibility of putting up the full list of all the members of the SSR2 or provide a link to that for us? So right now, you know, from the GNSO candidates, we had James Gannon from the NCUC, Denise Michelle is the BC member, and a non-voting member, the registrar. And I do remember that, because I was helped with this selection, one of our top candidates was from the registry. And I can't think of his name right now, but he was actually selected by another stakeholder group. So since one of our first three candidates was already going to be on the SSR2, we thought we would sorry about that, I may have touched that. That we then went to, you know, we didn't want to endorse a candidate that already had an endorsement and a seat. So in that way, the registry stakeholder group was represented, and I'm blanking on his name right now. So, yes, thank you, Marika. It was Eric, and he was selected by RSAC. So, in some ways, the group at that point that was making this decision felt that we had in our selection of candidates with James, with the NCUC, the registry, and the BC all represented, and Emily Taylor was from the registrar stakeholder group. I don't think we do not in this list of the other three have a candidate from the registrar stakeholder group, but I think that we can safely submit one of these individuals as the candidate. So I was wondering if anybody had any ideas or thoughts on handling this replacement candidate in this way, and wondering if we could move forward. So Maxim, you have your hand up.
Maxim, also for the record, as I understand, the current composition of the SSR2 is roughly four members from North America, four members from Europe, four from Asia Pacific, two from Africa, and one from Latin America. And actually, I don't see, just from the perspective of geographic diversity, there is not much of a difference if it's going to be North America or Asia Pacific, because the current three candidates, one of them is Asia Pacific from Pakistan, and two of them are North America, I'd say United States and Canada, or maybe Canada and United States or something, for Norm Ritchie. So my thinking about this is that we don't have much of difference. I mean, we cannot apply principle of geographic diversity here because the choice is going to be more or less equal, like five candidates of Asia Pacific or five candidates of North America is going to be the result. Thanks. And if I may, I'd like to add a few things about candidates, but maybe I do it a bit later. Thanks.
Okay. Or if you'd like to go now, that's fine to discuss.
Okay. Given the materials the three candidates provided, my personal impression that the first candidate, let me see, yeah, Rao Navid Bin Rais, it's a scientific kind of guy. As I understand, he had some ideas developed, quite structured, but no reference to implementations and lots of public activities. So what I can say good about this candidate is that he might have some, I'd say, more reasonable approach to statistics. And what they do with it, because it's not necessary that technical guys understand statistics and mathematics as well as the professionals, I'd say. About second candidate, he was ex-stage guy in computer business and in relations with large businesses and the United States government, yet reading his resume about Scott McCormick. And I'd say he knows the ecosystem and he's into the business computer security. And the third guy is Norm Ritchie, who is also ex-technician into computer security business, and also he has DNS operational experience, including root DNSSEC keyholder position. And he was involved in the last round of new GDLDs as IC employee, as I understand. And the latter can add something to the reviews which could be applied better from operational perspective. I mean, with digits, you can find lots of things like how some numbers are relevant to some other numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But without understanding of how it could be applied, we just receive scientific research. So my personal thinking that the first and the third candidates both can add something valuable to the group. And I'd say the Scott McCormick, the candidate, might add, I'd say, perspective from governmental point of view or large business point of view. So all three candidates, in my thinking, are more or less equal in the value they can add to the review team. Thanks.
Thanks, Maxim. That's interesting to hear the perspective, and thank you for doing the homework and really looking at these candidates. And we have Renata has her hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Renata. I hope you all can hear me well. So my comment was general about diversity in the group and on the candidates as well. Yes, I took a look at diversity of backgrounds as well, and I concur with Maxine that Raul Navid has a good academic background, but I also saw activities in other organizations which can be quite interesting for the group. And I understand that was also a strong suit of the candidate who left the group. So activities in ISOC, ITF, other interfaces in the area. So I would definitely highlight that as a plus that candidate would bring to the group in comparison to the ones that are already on the list. It is indeed that there are a good number, not a good number, but perhaps a number of Asia-Pacific participants in the group, but this group, this number can still be evened out, I think, with this candidate participating. But that could be my comment for now. Thanks.
Thanks, Renata. That's good input, too. Does anybody else have any input or thoughts about the candidates? And welcome, Hanslet and Lori. Sorry, I missed you, too, Lori. And then how we should move forward in making this decision. I thought we had a hard stop or hard deadline to make this decision on the candidate today. But Marika has proposed that we could provide a motion to the GNSO Council, because tonight at midnight, I think, is the motion deadline. But we could provide the motion to them, but not fill in the candidate's name. And Marika, did you want to fill us all in a little bit more on that?
Sure, Susan. This is Marika. So the idea is indeed that not everyone is on the call today, and some further deliberation may be needed to come to a decision, but at the same time recognizing that the deadline for motions for the GNSO Council meeting of next week is later today, the SEC would have the option to submit a motion that basically outlines what it has been tasked to do, but for now just leave the name of the person you would recommend replacing Emily Taylor blank. So that would give you some additional time to either further deliberate or conduct a survey or discuss over email or potentially another call, whatever you decide is needed. And then as soon as full consensus is reached, the person making the motion, you know, whether that's Susan or Yulf, would then be able to fill in that name as an amendment to that motion. That may allow for the council to consider a decision on this item during its meeting next week, while at the same time respecting the motion and document deadline and providing potentially a little bit more time for the SSC to reach an agreement on a replacement candidate. I do know that, you know, submitting the later the name is confirmed or submitted, it may, of course, then result in additional time that may be needed by the council to review. So as always, the sooner the better. But this may at least give you the option to have a little bit more time to consider the different candidates and also request input from those that may not be able to participate during this today's meeting or haven't made up their minds yet, while still allowing for potential consideration during next week's council meeting.
So that gives us a breather, and thank you for that. I was concerned that we would have to figure it all out today, which, you know, just trying to get everybody's schedule and getting input can be difficult. It looks like we have some thought going on in the chat, and Lori tends to lean toward Scott or Norm because of their practical experience, and Yul's point that Norm is an independent. But that also
qualifies. Can I ask something?
Sure, Lori, go for it.
Yeah, hi, sorry. I'm not great at the hand raising, but we're a small group. I wanted to add, too, about Norm. Considering who we're replacing, I believe that Norm, if I recall, has the registrar background. And so if we want to try to get a balance of talents, maybe that's where we look. He's independent, but if I remember right, he's got a registrar background. So I would consider that maybe even being a tilting factor.
Okay. That's a good point. I thought he had a registry background.
The registry? I don't remember. I can pull up his resume and look.
Yeah, I looked at it earlier this morning, and I don't know the details, but it looks like Emily has put the link into his SOI. And so Maxim is saying he does have some registry back in. He understands the registry back end work. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He was the president of the registrar group.
Yeah, that's what I thought I had read. And I thought that if
okay.
we're placing somebody from the registrar group, even if it's not the group, he's got a background. I mean, it's a while ago. It's like 10 years ago, but it's something.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And, you know, and one of my concerns, and I don't know Raul, so I am, but I did review his resume, and it does look like Renata had pointed out that he has participated in a lot of different types of forums and groups, and so hopefully is a very good contributor also. Emily Taylor was acting as a co-chair, so she, you know, and I'm also know Emily from when she chaired the Who Is Review team, the first one that I was on. And so, you know, this is a the SSR2 is really critical, and we do need to pick someone that is going to participate and has a background of supporting whatever initiative they're working on and strong participation. I know Scott because he's in the BC, and I've seen him provide comments and lots of good insight to the BC, and then Norm Ritchie has a great reputation too. I happen to just know them both a little bit personally. Rao, I don't, but that doesn't mean anything here or there. So, Anne Marie is talking about the deadline here. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, I was wondering, I don't have really personal experience with any of the three. I was only going by what I was reading. I don't know, as chair, would it be appropriate to ask you if you had to make a call today, what would you do without binding you? I don't know any of them.
Yeah, just from my own perspective, Scott or Norm would be easy to work with, and I think they would follow through and participate. But like I said, I don't know Raul. I think I would be more sort of leaning toward Raul if we didn't have the geographical diversity already, covered in the SSR2. But since that isn't a issue and there is no other woman candidate, because I always look at the gender diversity also, then to me, any of these three, I just happen to know Scott and Norm and know that they would personally fit in with the and work well on the team. It looks like Maxim has a personal experience with Norm and he performed well. Oh, and Raul has been a fellow, which is good, and a coach.
Mm.
So what we could do is we should review the motion, but we also need to decide on, Lori, you want to draw straws? That probably would work. We should decide on since we're not all on the call, Frederick is not here, we could do a short poll or survey to see where we're landing. Is there Ponsolet is like draw straws. And so is there are we leaning toward anybody in specific? Do people want to say? So Marika, are you advocating doing the poll right now or just via email?
This is Marika. You could set up a very short survey in Zoomerang like we've done for some of the previous ones where the only question is please rank these three candidates in your order of preference, taking into account the criteria and qualifications for the SSR review team, and give people a relatively short deadline that would also allow people like Frederick, who of course has already expressed, I think, his perspective on the mailing list to respond. Maybe that would give a clear preference or maybe a small preference for one candidate over the other, although you may still need to deal with the eventuality if there is a tie between candidates on how to handle that.
Okay. And we do have consensus. So if we're agreeing to the survey with a ranking, would you like to we would have to give this a time period. So do you think 48 hours is good enough? Maxim, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
I think that the idea with the poll, with a ranked approach, we might have either one question, like have you read the materials? If you say yes, then how do you rate the candidate, 1 to 3? And the time of 2 days, I think it's enough, because I will try to reach to the registries and registrar XCOM, so they provide guidance to me and Frederick. Because I, after all, Frederick and me, we're just representatives. We don't act on ourselves. So I think it's a good idea. Thanks.
Okay, so you're advocating that we everybody has to affirm that they've read the materials, and then they rank the candidates. Okay, so Marika or Emily, can we set that up to go out and give it a 48-hour deadline? Okay, perfect. And then we probably should review the draft motion. I'm not sure that that was sent out to the whole SSC. And to your point, Maxim, that, you know, the materials are only a few pages per candidate, totally agree that we each should be reviewing those before we make a decision. And Emily's going to put up that draft motion. The motion is very, it appeared pretty standard to me. It's very similar to what we've done in the past. Thank you, Emily. So I think we each should read this and decide if there's any changes today on this call, because we'll have to submit this by end of day. So if we can agree now on this, that would be very helpful. I could read it out, but I'm not sure that that's going to be any better than you each reading it yourself. And Emily will send it out to make sure that Frederick will have it. And anybody wants to read it in their email. Okay, so we'll just give you a little bit of time to read it here. So Maxim asks, do we need to add text that the fourth candidate expressed lack of interest? Mariko, is that something that you feel like is critical?
This is Mariko. I think we did note in one of the clauses, I'm trying to see now.
The number five, it says.
Yeah, the number of five. Expressed that they were still interested, so we thought that would capture basically that the person that's not listed there was no longer interested.
Yeah, I guess in some ways, if we added his name and said he was no longer interested. I don't know. I feel a little funny about that.
All right, Maxine, for the record, if I may.
Yes. Go ahead.
I think if we don't mention it, it looks like we just forgot something. I understand from the logical point of view that saying that these three candidates were still interested by that moment of time, but I think since the fourth candidate said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, we might need to add it to remove necessity of additional clarifications and things like that, like what happened to the fourth candidate. Thanks.
Okay, so I guess we wouldn't have to state Howard's name. We could do something. The following candidates that were nominated in the initial selection, or we could change that to there were four candidates that were nominated in the initial selection process for consideration. Beyond those that were entitled to be selected, three expressed that they were still interested in serving on the SSR2. And then just name the three. Would that make it clearer? Or we can say three out of four. That would be fine. So could we make an adjustment, Marika, to this, to the fifth whereas clause?
This is Marika. Sure. And Susan, will you be submitting the motion? Because in that case, we'll just get it back to you for submission later today.
Yeah, I can submit it. But just so everyone knows, I'm leaving on vacation on Wednesday, so I'm going to have I will not be at the GNSO council meeting. So you will probably have to talk about it.
Yeah, Susan, in that case, it may make more sense to have Yulf make the motion, because if an amendment needs to be submitted later with a date, if that's after Wednesday, or if there are any further changes, it normally requires approval of the maker of the motion. So for practical reasons, it may be easier if Yulf submits the motion, unless, of course, Yulf is unwilling or not available to do so.
Okay, he just said he's happy to do it. That makes sense. So, yeah, so we can make that change, and then Yulf will get it. And it looks like Lori's leaving on vacation, too, on Friday. And, Lori, you have your hand up. Would you like to? Your turn to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that was an old hand. I agree with the resolution to 5. We should just say we contacted all who were qualified and these three expressed interest. Just express it positively. That's all I think I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll make that change. Was there any other edits that the committee would like to make to the motion? And Maxim says everything else looks fine. Okay, so we'll get that done. Yulf will get it done. thank you, Yulf. I think you had to submit the last one too, because I was somewhere. And yeah, and then Emily saying that we'll get this out to everyone to take a final look. And Poslet's fine with that. And I think we need to move on to. So we'll get the survey out, we'll get the motion out, and so hopefully be able to wrap up on the SSR2 selection. And then we, is there anything else on the SSR2, Marika or Emily, that we need to consider?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the main question is following the closing of the poll. So I think we set 48 hours for people to provide their input. How do you want to proceed then? Staff can, of course, and post the results. And does the group then need further time to express their agreement with the outcome of the poll? Is there further time needed? Do we need everyone to respond on the mailing list? There's not a call needed. How would you like to go about that as we are operating under the full consensus rules?
Those are all good questions. And I, you know, me being gone on vacation and it's going to be a little bit difficult. I'm actually going to be out of the country, so I'll have a little bit of difficulty of Wi-Fi and cell. And you'll, with the WHOIS or the RDS is, selection. I wasn't part of that, but, you know, last time we didn't wait for everyone to respond. So I think we should try to make sure everybody responds in that 48 hours and then with the aim to make a decision. But if not everyone has ranked the, you know, if we don't have a consensus on ranking, how would the committee like to move forward? Do you think another call is warranted, or do you think we could do this via email? And Renata is suggesting that we do the 48-hour deadline, and if we don't get everybody, then do another 24. And then just make sure we have the clear reminder in the UTC time and date is Maxim's point. So I would like to try to approach this with the via email and see if we couldn't resolve any differences and come to a clear consensus. So I would say let's maybe publish the results after 48 hours, even if everybody has not responded, and then try to get other people, those that haven't responded, we could reach out via email and get them to give them an extra 24 hours. But at least at that end of 48 hours, we'll know if we have consensus amongst those that have responded that would be good, too, the Marika's suggestion of if there's any objections to the results of the poll. Let's do that. That's a good path forward. As usual, Marika makes things move. So, and then if we don't have a consensus, then we'll either have to do it via email with a new poll or just simply come, you know, via email to figure out if everybody is now agreeing. So we're just going to do this via poll and email and see if we can't get an answer. I would say we really need to provide this to the GNSO Council, provide the candidate's name by Friday so that the GNSO can then go back to their own communities or stakeholder groups, constituencies, and make sure that there's no problems with our recommendation. All right. I think we've got a plan. And now we need to move on to the ATRT3 selection. We've got a lot of work to do. So in the slides, it looks like they've provided us, so we have 9 candidates. And so this makes it a little easier because, you know, we can recommend 7 of those. Of course, we have to come up with that top 3. And staff has done their assessment, and we can find all the information at that link. So we need to decide on whether or not, you know, we will get this done in time for the September GNSO Council meeting or the October. And if Emily or Marika can remind me of the motion dates or the council dates. There we go. Thank you. You prepared all these slides and I'm just skipping forward, and sorry about that. It's just that we only have 15 minutes left. So if we review all the materials and get a poll out by next week of the candidate, and then have a call to review and rank the candidates on September 6th. The document deadline is September 10th, and then we could if we don't get that done, though, Marika or Emily, we could use the same process we're using here. If we have the motion but haven't quite come to an agreement on the candidates, could we submit that motion with the names left blank and then still hit the September council meeting? Okay, Marika's saying correct. So there's a little fudge room there that we could still get it into the council by September. I would like to aim for that, but we could also, if we can't come to agreement, then do that, you know, look for to the October meeting. And Renata agrees on the timeline too. And Maxim is wondering if you could submit the, or you could send around the whole slide deck, which I think would be good. And Maxim, you have your hand up.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record, as I understand, we can expect some more volunteers, I hope I understood it right. And thus, I suggest we start evaluation by the, plus 1 or plus 2 days after the end of the submission of the materials or applications. Because now, if we start reviewing by now, most probably we will give more preference to the candidates we see now. So I suggest we do it when we understand that the pool of candidates is finished and we will not expect any more. It's my thinking. Thanks.
Well, if you see in the chat, Marika has said that the APRT3 has closed. That application period is closed. And so we are limited to those 9 candidates. And then she's asking about the GNSO liaison. That's an ongoing application period that's open. Okay, so then you're fine. Okay, so maybe we should move back to the other slides really quickly on the ATRT to just cover the requirements and thank you. And so let's go to the next slide, the key questions that they'll answer. Is ICANN transparent? Does the community know what's being decided? Is ICANN listening to all voices to build the multi-stakeholder system? Is ICANN doing what it said it would do? If not, how is ICANN correcting course? So these are the 3 key questions that ATRT will answer. So we should keep those in mind as we're looking at the all of the candidates to see how they would fit in answering those questions. And let's go to the next slide. And the focus of the ATRT is ICANN is executing on its commitment. Decision-making is clear, board performance, GAC interactions with the board are transparent. Public input and comments are appropriately considered. ICANN is accountable and transparent, reflects the public interest, accountable to the internet community, and to examine the past reviews. Were the previous recommendations implemented? Did this make things better? So that's a lot of work for the ATRT, but that all makes sense to me. And then Lori is asking, can you please post the link to the candidates? And then in general, what does a review involve for participants? Plan review, develop, scope, key questions, and project plan, execute review, gather feedback, prepare report, and deliver the final report. Which seems so simple when it's on one slide, but having been now being part of the second RDSRT, that's actually a lot of work. And the next slide. So, general knowledge and expertise needed. I think this is really critical for us to find candidates that are going to have the commitment and time to participate. I think it's hard for people that have not participated before to understand what that really means, but hopefully we have a selection of candidates that we won't have to worry about that. Team spirit, consensus-seeking attitude, willingness to learn, readiness to contribute, objectivity, capacity to draw fact-based conclusions, and good communication skills using multiple methods and tools. So, these are key and core expertise that we need to look at in those candidates. And the next slide. So, to Maxim's question, how many do we need to select? The GNSO Council and the selection committee, when it was developed, decided that we would always select 7, but rank the top 3 as those 3 to fill the 3 seats that were guaranteed. The hope is, and the way the review teams were set up, is that we might have the ability, the GNSO Council might have the ability to place more than 3 candidates on a review team if other stakeholder groups or constituencies weren't in, or stakeholder, SOs, excuse me, getting confused, the organizations were not interested. Like in the review team, the RDS review team, you'll remember the CCTLDs had not placed any candidates on the team, but they also did not hand those seats over to the GNSO Council to fill. So we always select 7. We indicate who the top 3 are so that those will fill the seats, but we have the other 4 in reserve just in case we need to, in this case, like with Emily having to resign, then we have a pool of candidates that's already been reviewed and selected, or if one of the stakeholder organizations says fine, we're not going to fill all our seats. We will take, we will allow you to use 1 or more of our seats, which also happened on the Who is review team or the RDS review team. So we GNSO Council got 4. So it'll all. And Maxim, do we have confirmations from particular GNSO bodies about the support of ATRT 3 candidates? And Emily responded, we've just received confirmation. Individuals who are members of SGs, Cs, the wiki will be updated shortly. Right, and we don't ask if there's support. There's just to see if the affiliation. I really think that's the role of the committee, is to go back to their own SGs or constituencies and make sure that the candidate that has applied is someone that the specific SG or C does endorse. So that you need to talk to your own communities about that. And Marika's pointing out there's no requirement to be affiliated. So I do think it makes it easier when you go back to your own community that if there is if it is a member of your own community, you know, the BC or the IPC or the registrar or registry group, that it's easier because you know them to recommend them. And also Norm is really an example of that. He is a independent, but he's also known in the community, I think, is one of the reasons he was added to that. And Maxim said it was questionable about Erica, but it worked, so that's good too. All right, so I think our next step with this is to everyone to review the materials and be ready to submit the response, their responses via the poll. And then we can move on with a meeting. I think it was on the 5th or 6th, the 6th. So is there any other questions about the ATRT process? Yes, Renata, I think we always should be looking at diversity, I think gender and geographic. Maxim would like to include support or affiliation. I'm not sure that we can guarantee.
I think that is a separate conversation that Maxim and I are having in the chat in relation to whether someone has to be affiliated or a member of a stakeholder group constituency. So I don't think, at least Maxim can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that was related to the poll necessarily.
Oh, okay. And Emily. Oh, I'm sorry, Maxim, go ahead.
Maxim, also, but for the record, actually, I'm just trying to follow logic. In case of seats located to GNSO, it should be either support or affiliation, because those candidates are relevant somehow to GNSO. That's it. Because if, for example, we see something like we saw with our guests review team, where some candidates were not like affiliated or were confused about their location in the structure of ICANN ecosystem. So that was my thinking.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I think Norm Ritchie comes to mind for me, because in talking to my own constituency, Norm Ritchie was a known quantity, even though he wasn't declaring himself as part of the registrar or the registry or the BC, but because he's known in the community, the BC was fine in endorsing him as one of the candidates. So I guess it depends on your community and who it is. I think it's harder for unknown quantities. So we've got 3 minutes, or maybe less than that, 2 minutes. And Emily, your turn.
Thanks, Susan. This is Emily from SAF, for the record. Just wanted to ask a question about the structure of the poll for the ATRT3 appointment. Do you want it to be structured similar to the RDS poll that we did, or are there tweaks or different structure that you'd like to see for that? Thanks.
Okay, you know what? I did not do the RDS poll or fill out the RDS poll. Does anybody have some comments on that, on what we would like to see in the poll?
and this is Marika, if I can maybe add to Emily's point, what we can do is set up the poll in a similar way as we did for the RDS review team and then make that available in preview mode. So that then gives the group an opportunity to review how the poll is set up, make suggestions on how we may improve or change or edit it, and then we can launch it. Maybe that's a way for people to concretely see how it could be structured, but also then make suggestions on how it may need to be adjusted to give results that are easier or more workable for the group to review.
Okay. And it looks like we have plus ones and agreeing. So let's do that. I think that's a great suggestion in the preview mode. That way, if there are any suggested changes, they can be made easily. All right, and since we're out of time, or almost, we'll have to, the timeline for the CAP liaison selection. So the application period will close in September, so there's not anything we can do on that, but that's a suggested timeline. Since everyone has the slide availability to the slides, if you have comments on that timeline, let's do that on email. And then we also need to review the SSC standard process document and adhere to that. If there's any more edits or concerns, we should also talk about that at the next meeting. And I agree, Maxim, it would be great if we have at least one candidate for GAC liaison. So, any other questions or concerns today? Oh, and we need to review the charter. Okay, we'll set up a time to do that in September. Okay, if there's nothing else that's burning and that we have to cover today, I think we'll call the meeting to close and appreciate all the input and the discussion today, and looking forward to the SSR2 replacement candidate poll. Thanks all.
Thanks, Susan. The meeting has been adjourned. Operator, would you mind stopping the recording for us at this time? Have a great day, everyone.